Hello everyone, welcome to the International Business Podcast. If you work across time zones, borders and cultures, this is the show for you. I'm Leonardo, founder and host of the show, but let's make it simple and just call me Leo. I'm based in Shanghai and I'm accompanied by two co-hosts, Stefano, based in Paris, and Audrey from San Francisco. On these select episodes of the show, we'll extract our favorite moments from previous episodes of the International Business Podcast. You can find the links to the guests in the show notes. Enjoy. I would like to move on to diversity. And in your nearly 20 years of experience, Gabor, with the international leadership assignments, coaching and consulting at global firms, you must have seen many, many, many things. What I would like you to tell us is, name three common mistakes managers fall into when managing organizations with, let's say, a high level of diversity.
So you have to imagine the scenario, almost like a movie, when I work with a manager or an executive. So usually what happens is that somebody became quite successful, they got a promotion, and now they are either moving to another function or moving into another location. And that is always a transition, not just career transition, not just professional, but also psychological transition. The number one mistake, and this is just the application of what I already mentioned under cultural awareness, is that this manager, or even an entrepreneur, or an academic, I don't know, government official, they just assume that they can take the position in the new place, or in the new city, or in the new country, log in and start working. Because they also have the experience and they have the knowledge, the social network, they know whom to call and so on. But what they have to know is that if I change the environment around you, then suddenly you are going to slow down. You are going to become more inefficient because now you don't know the legal system. Now you don't know how whom to call. Now you don't know how people will react if you delegate work to them in a certain way. So this would be error number one. Error number two is when people work in a diverse environment. Let's say an American manager moves to Singapore, or when you worked for a Wall Street firm, but now you are going to work for a consulting firm or a healthcare firm, which has a different culture. Then people assume that you can learn a culture the way you can learn a language or you can learn a computer system.
Absolutely not true.
And basically, they are trying to figure out the rules. They are sitting down and says, all right, I can do this. I can work like a Singaporean. I can work like a healthcare worker. All I have to do is figure out the rules, copy it with my behavior, and then I will get a positive response to that, which usually they very soon find out that is not the case. And then the third one is what I already mentioned, but I would like to repeat it under fallacies. Is that there are non-cultural things in a professional environment, like engineering is non-cultural, or the way we deal with the money of the firm has nothing to do with culture. But this is almost never true. Like, for example, flexibility in terms of money is extremely cultural. Flexibility in terms of time is very cultural. And no matter how much people try to copy the behavior of another culture, especially under pressure, your true nature or your old habits will come back and create conflict.
I would like to take a step back and let's get to basics, Richard. How can we clearly define a distributor selling model and a direct one? And according to your experience, what are the pros and cons of each model?
Yeah, there's a trend really now to saving costs overall in the market. There's several geographies where you see a professionalization of the market, where there's a big trend towards group purchasing, also where the ease of accessing information has led to some products becoming commodities, which were not commodities before in my field, orthopedics. So all of that is leading to ways on where companies are looking to save money. And one of the ways could be to save money on the distribution chain. So traditionally, as I said, in markets like in Western Europe, where we're here, it is mainly through subsidiaries. But when you consider the EU as one big United States of Europe, if you think about it, it's not really necessary to sell through distributors. You can really set up a structure to go direct in the market as opposed to the traditional way. And mainly it is by going directly and getting the top line. So it is it allows you to save money by being more price competitive and not having that large margin that often distributors require to sell your products. It also gives you the advantage, this direct sales, of owning the end customer, of really having that direct contact or at least accounts within it. And but it, of course, it is very important to be selective in the markets you do that at. So it is not possible to do it everywhere, of course.
Do you think that consumers are going to rethink their values and make, let's say, more sustainable priorities, or let's say make more sustainable decisions? Are consumers more value-driven now?
I really like what Nicola said about sustainability. Said it was there, but then obviously COVID accelerated everything. Accelerated everything because the two main aspects that came out were, first of all, that we were dealing with unsustainable production and the huge level of consumptions. But then, obviously, since we entered in lockdown, we had to face that retailers, they were closed. There was, yes, the online option, but at the beginning, not so many people were into the online. And probably in our homes, we just discovered that we can live with less of all of those incredible consumption that we were having before. And then also from other perspective, COVID created also a lot of constraints in the society when it comes to travel, when it comes to production. There was a better reflection on resource consumption. And then from both perspectives, retailers and brands also, they had to understand how to deal with a new way for a supply chain. Even the entire design process for spring-summer seasons that they were showing in September, but also the pre-collection of spring-summer in July. Some brands, they skipped that drop with their buyers and they just focus on the spring-summer of September. So definitely, yeah, new values, but probably it was just an acceleration that we needed, and it happened with COVID. I think now, yes, there is a greater awareness of the need for a consistent effort from everyone. As an educator, I feel that Gen Z and the new generations, they are more open to this notion of sustainability. It's clear that before COVID, it was too much choice and too much greenwashing, and it was quite hard to define a clear value-driven action. But now probably reflecting our houses, we are locked in the house. So then probably we had a sort of, you know, selection of what we really need. And then obviously the new generation, they talk about sustainability. They know sustainability because they study also in the courses. And probably in a future, sustainability is not going to be just a course, it's going to be the good practice of running a business.
You can find the podcast on all the major platforms. Make sure to subscribe, do not miss the weekly episodes. And are you an international professional? Connect with us on LinkedIn to come on the show. For now, cheers.